Good morning. This is the Game Fish and Parks Radio Show. I am Bryce McVicker, and with us today is Mike Klazowski. Thanks for coming today, Mike.
You betcha. Good morning.
I got away with getting out of the radio show the last couple weeks, so we've had to have a few people step in, but I guess I'm back for this week again. After a pretty long 4th of July weekend, but overall it was good. I think as far as weather goes for the 4th of July, probably one of the better 4ths that I can remember. A little bit of wind, but overall pretty nice temperatures, not overly hot. The day of the 4th was by far the hottest day and probably the best boating weather of the 4-day weekend. Other than that, right around 85 degrees, 15 mile an hour winds, and every night about 11 o'clock that temperature would usually drop from 85 to 65 degrees, and we just didn't have much boat traffic after dark. The last few years, especially Lake Compesca, Lake Ponset, after dark fireworks would start and a lot of boats would come out and watch fireworks. But this year, with those 65 degree temps after dark, we just didn't hardly have any traffic after the sun went down.
Sunday night, came into town, watched the fireworks show that they had at the Redland Museum, and I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and we left a little bit early, and by the time I got there, I thought, this might get a little bit cold, and I think I was hypothermic by the time the fireworks ended. it was very cold. I'd have bought pretty much anybody's sweatshirt for a high dollar amount, so...
Yeah, I can't really remember a 4th of July weekend where I was chilly working on a boat after dark, but this weekend, just about every night other than the 4th, it did get chilly after that sun went down. But overall, pretty good weekend. We did see some violations in the region, but I think more than usual we had more fishing violations over the 4th of July than we probably had recreational violations, and I think that's just due to where the fish are biting this year. Bitter Lake and Lake Ponset, pretty good sized lakes that draw in a bunch of people, just a large user group at both of those lakes and has been all year, and when you have that amount of fishermen on a lake, you're just going to have a higher violation rate. That's just all there is to it. But fishing has been pretty good. Like I said, Bitter and Ponset are still kicking, and I know, Mike, you've been up to Bitter a few times.
Yeah, I fished Bitter a couple times, and you know, you have a situation there on the lake where we have recently taken off the minimum size restriction of 15 inches. We have a forage issue out on that lake, and those fish aren't growing to the size we'd want to get them to within that time frame. And anglers have been out and about. They have really been taking advantage of that, of those walleyes. You know what? You know, they're in that, most of them are in that 13 and a half to 15 and a quarter. And of course, a 14, 15 inch fish is a good eating fish. So a lot of people have been having fun with that. But of course, with that, you know, game wardens, we always say whenever you get really good weather and really good fishing, you have violations out there, just a matter of whether or not you can catch them. And that's what we're seeing out there. We're seeing a fair amount of people overbagging on walleye, catching, you know, more than their daily limit. And the officers have done a really good job of addressing those issues. And it's not only been on Bitter Lake, it's been also some other lakes as well this year. That's one of the lakes that has received quite a bit of attention. It sounds like I believe it was Saturday, I had heard that the lower parking lot was full at Bitter Lake at the pub, at the state ramp. The mm-hmm. upper parking lot was full, and people were parked out onto Day County 1, which is the tar road that goes north and south right to that area. And then, of course, you have the Bitter Lake Lodge to the north there, the private access. Sounds like that was fairly busy. And, of course, you have over on the southwest side of the lake, you have the Canago access there, or excuse me, not the Canago access, but the Casillas or Solomon Slough access, and there's, you know, probably 20, 30, 40 boats over there as well, so just a really busy lake. That thing is really pumping out the eater-sized walleyes right now. And typically, this time of year, the fishing really takes a nosedive. Water heats up, dog days of summer starts to begin, but in those couple systems, there's no sign of slowing down right now.
Yeah, being up there at the boat ramp a few times this weekend really reminded me of 2011 when we had such great fishing on Bitter Lake and all those ramps were full and people were parked all the way out on the highway. And that's kind of what it looked like, especially Saturday. Boats everywhere, and which pretty good to see. After we removed that 14-inch minimum up there, a lot of people thought that that lake was going to be swamped. And up until this point, we haven't really had those weekends where all the parking lots have been full. So it's nice to see the parking lots full, and that's kind of why we took that fish limit off, is we want to see some of those smaller fish, like you said, pulled out of there, and I think that's going to start to happen. And as long as they keep biting, we should be able to get some of them out of there. Our other popular bite going on in the region right now is Lake Ponset. Maybe not quite as many anglers down there over the 4th of July as there was on Bitter, probably due to the recreational traffic that accompanies the fishermen out on Lake Ponset. However, we did see quite a few fishermen out there. Walleye continue to bite. They are the same size as the ones coming out of Bitter, but there is still the 15-inch length minimum on Lake Ponset. So remember that. We are still running into some short fish violations down there. Not quite as many issues with overbags on Lake Ponset as we've seen on Bitter Lake, but nonetheless, that length limit is stayed on there, and so we are seeing some length limit violations. Other than that, fishing in the area, Lake Albert continues to be pretty good. Still 20, 30 rigs down there, it seems like, about every day. It's pretty tough to find the fish, though, it seems like. A lot of boats come off with zero fish or maybe one or two, but the boats that spend some time looking around and do find them, they catch some pretty nice fish. A lot of them are 17 to 21, 22 inches. So really nice fish coming out of Albert if you can find them. And it's been a while since Albert's had a good bite, so that's nice to see. Goose Lake here in Coddington County, not much traffic going on there. But if you're out around the lake, go down the Grover Road, you'll be able to see all of our progress with the new boat ramp there. Coming along really well. And I think as soon as that gets in, maybe we'll see the fishing pick up on Goose just a little bit if we can increase access just a little.
How much has that lake, I had heard from another person, I haven't been there for a little while, but how much has that lake, do you figure, dropped this summer?
Actually, Goose, of all of them, probably hasn't dropped very much.
Oh, okay.
I would say less than a foot, but in the last 2 years, it's dropped at least 2 feet, probably, because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that Grover Road was almost all underwater along Goose Lake, and now you can drive the whole length of it again. Obviously, it's a pretty rough road, so we wouldn't want to use it for travel, but if you're using it for lake access, it is navigable at this point.
Yeah, you know, these dropping water levels are probably not the best for a fishery, but they certainly have other advantages as well. You know, back in 2007, 2008, Long Lake was a fantastic place to shoot a canvas back, and the water levels were probably 5 foot shallower. There was a bunch of different loafing sites out there, and ever since that water level went up, it just hasn't quite been as good. And I was just kind of wondering that the other day, you know, these water levels keep dropping. Places like Long Lake, they're going to turn back into some of their former duck areas, and it should be pretty interesting. But like I said, that's probably not the best for the fishery.
Yeah, a couple other lakes that have really gone down that we've talked about on this show quite a bit, Grass Lake, Dry Lake by Florence.
Yeah.
All those lakes are really going down. But like you said, they really could increase habitat, be great for duck production, and if the cattails start coming up along the outsides, it'd be good for pheasants and deer and everything else. But yeah, I've already had a couple calls into the office. Somebody from, I think, South Carolina called me the other day wanting to know how the water levels were in Long Lake, and he could remember back to the 90s when the water levels were lower than they are today, and he was hoping that they'd be back to those levels so he could hunt divers out there. So being from South Carolina, he'd really done his research. So pretty interesting deal. Other lakes in the area, Dry Lake number 2, still pumping out fish pretty good. We had some officers working down there over the busy 4th of July weekend, and they said that just about every boat had fish. A little bit nicer fish there, probably 16 to 18. Really nice fish. Starting to see a perch or two come out of Dry Lake. And then they did see some northerns as well. But full parking lots on Dry Lake all of the 4th of July weekend. Indian Springs has been busy. Some guys picking up some fish out there. Dry Lake number one maybe slowed down a little bit, and saw some boats on Reed this weekend as well, catching some fish during the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, I had a friend that fished Reed on Saturday morning early, did well, caught some nice fish, some over 20s that they had caught and released, and they said early in the morning there wasn't too many people there, but by the time they left, 10, 11, you know, approaching that noon hour, it was just jam-packed with people. That parking lot was really filling up, so.
Yeah, plenty of options out there for it being almost the middle of July already. Aquatic invasive species. Seems like we touched on that quite a bit at the beginning of the boating season, and now we get into the middle of summer. We probably haven't talked about it as much as we should the last couple weeks. But here in Region 4, we're looking to kind of ramp up our efforts as far as enforcement goes with aquatic invasive species. The southeast part of South Dakota has already began doing things like road checks, issuing citations to boaters who don't have their boats plugged, issuing citations for transporting bait in water, in lake water, transporting lake water in live wells, and those kinds of things. And here in the Northeast, we are looking to begin some of those efforts as well.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, officers across the Northeast, they have been enforcing those regulations, and we're really going to start focusing on those regulations now that the dog days of summer are here, and a lot of people are focusing on recreational activities out on the lake, like boating. Like you mentioned, just want to remind boaters out there and anglers that when you're going to be leaving the lake, if you did dip your minnow bucket or your leeches or something like that, your bait bucket into the water and you have lake water in there, that lake water needs to be poured back out prior to leaving. You need to pull those plugs in the boat that are capable of holding water, like live wells, and then, of course, the plug to the boat, and ensure that water gets out. You know, the whole point of this is to really slow or even prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species like zebra mussels, quagga mussels, all kinds of different vegetation that really can take over a lake. It really scares me to think about if Eurasian milfoil would ever get up into these northeastern lakes that are, generally speaking, warm, shallow lakes. It sounds like that milfoil or that aquatic vegetation could just really take over a lake. And if anybody has been out on a lake that has Eurasian milfoil and has had it take over, you can't boat through it. It's a mat of weeds that just completely fills up bays and places on the lake that you could once boat. So really want to, like I said, really want to prevent the spread, and then at least at a minimum slow that down. So like Bryce said, we're going to really be upping our enforcement of that.
Definitely. One question that comes up almost every other boat, it seems like, that I talk to is guys say that they like to drain their boats at the docks, and then when they get home, they like to put their plug back in so they don't forget for next time. And these regulations are going to prohibit you from doing that. You won't be able to go down the road with a plug in your boat, or you will be subject to getting a fine. So a lot of these regulations are going to kind of make us change habits, all of us. I know me, especially in my work boat, before these regulations came out, I used to never remove the plug, just leave it in all the time. But now we got automatic plugs in our boats, so we are in compliance with the regulations, and we don't have to worry about if an emergency comes up or if we're in a hurry to make sure to get those plugs in. And that's kind of what we're asking our fishermen to do, is if you have a hard time remembering your plug, maybe go out and get one of those automatic plugs. But we can't have plugs going down the road regardless of if it's habit or not habit.
Yeah, I'd really encourage people to look into that automatic plug. It's very handy, and I was a little bit leery of them when our officers started using them up here last year, and to my knowledge, we haven't really had any problems. I was concerned with things getting stuck in them rocks, whatever, and having it leak, and we really haven't had any problems. And those lakes those boats are moved from lake to lake a lot of times, and used quite extensively. and would highly recommend getting those automatic plugs. And if I remember right, they're not very expensive. I want to say $20 to $30 or something like that. You'll be able to just put your plug in, and there's an automatic drain right on it. So when the lake, or excuse me, when you pull the boat out of the lake, it automatically drains. You don't have to worry about pulling it, and you'll be in compliance.
Definitely. A lot of the people that I see that have them out in the public, they said that they bought them locally. So they're being sold in the area. So swing into your boat shops and pick those up. We're coming towards the end of our show here, Mike, but on your travels to and from home, have you been seeing much for little pheasants yet?
You know, actually, right out by my place, I've seen a number of broods. It's looking pretty good. We are getting very dry. I live in that Florence area, and we could really use a shot of rain right now for everything, not only for pheasants, for crops, for for trees, for grass, for CRP, for whatever have you. The sloughs are really starting to go down, and so that's interesting to watch how fast they are going down on those windy days where it's like 95 degrees. I swear I can look out on Sumner Slough and watch the water level go down. I mean, it just really sucking them dry. But, you know, right now it's going to be interesting. We're going to be starting our brood surveys that we do every year right around that July 25th, August 1st time frame, and we do those surveys all the way up to about August 15th, and then we start looking at that data and we start comparing it to years past and see whether or not there's an increase, a decrease, if things are staying the same. So it's going to be interesting. So by the end of August, we should know whether or not we were seeing an increase in young pheasants in the area.
Yeah, I haven't been out driving around a whole heck of a lot. But it sounds like that people are seeing some bigger brood sizes. But yeah, we could definitely use a shot of rain, and it'll be interesting moving into brood survey time what we see. One last quick note here. Kyle Lenzner over in Clark is going to be hosting a Step Outside event on July 14th from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock at the Clark Rural Water Gravel Pit. It's a half mile south of 169th Street and on the west side of 424th Street. So if you just go south of Clark to 179th Street, it's a little bit south of there. It is open to ages 8 to 17. They're going to have trap shooting, 22 shooting, archery, muzzle loaders, and then they're going to have a turkey hunting setup this year. Participants must pre-register. Please contact the Game and Fish office in Watertown at 882-5200. If you have any questions, you can give Kyle a call at 881-3777. So once again, Clark County Step Outside event coming up next week, July 14th from 1 to 5, open to ages 8 to 17. That is all the time we have this week. We will see you back here, same time, same place next week.